Welcome to the Parenting is Heart Work podcast. I'm Dr. Scott Taransky, and I'm here with Elena Svetzlot. And we're talking about marriage here in this series of podcasts. And we're going to come this week to a very important piece of our sanctification. It has to do with our mouths. And I think we're going to hit some nerves here in our own lives. I know this touches me, and I'm continually working on this in my life. So I'm eager to get into this, and maybe there's some ideas that other people will be able to catch and will help them in their own person to develop this ability to choose their words carefully. So, Elena, welcome today.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. And you just nailed the nail on the head, because I, as you struggle with words and how I use my words. So actually, this episode today is quite convicting for me. It's really, I think, important. And it's just such a good reminder every day, every morning, to pray about the words we use. And the Bible refers to our mouth as a fire that can bring, you know, a lot of harm, but also that can do a lot of good. So I'm really excited about this episode and about hearing from you. And you call it in the book graciousness. And you describe it as embracing a gentle and understanding attitude in all interactions, even in challenging situations. And you also describe choosing kind words as speaking in ways that build up and encourage, even in moments of disagreements. So, Dr. Scott, I'm just very curious, actually, to start off by asking your experience with this and what's your story about the way you use words, and from the beginning until, let's say, the point you've gotten to write this chapter?
Well, I write this just out of my own, maybe can I say, struggle in this area sometimes, because sometimes I'm right, and I know I'm right, especially when I'm interacting with someone who disagrees with me, and I just know that they're wrong. And so in those moments, I am tempted to disagree by interrupting them and say, yes, but. And I think one way that I'm learning more and trying to practice this more is to be gracious by listening more. So I just think sometimes graciousness is not interrupting people, but letting them finish their argument or finish what they're saying. And when they do, for me, it's even to try to figure out, why are they saying this? What is their goal here? If I can affirm something going on in their heart, then it already sets the stage for me to come in with maybe my argument or my words that of disagreement. So I think that graciousness is one of those goals. I often say that graciousness involves three qualities. There's a gentleness, and there's a patience, and there's a kindness, all wrapped up in this word. And those three words that I just said, all of those words are part of the fruit of the Spirit. And I just need to be more Spirit-filled in my talking, because that's what makes up graciousness in my own life. I think marriage is full of opportunities for us to be more gracious. And that means that I get practice time in marriage. My wife is a very gracious person, and she's, our conflict level in our marriage is very low. Carrie's just a very loving person. And when there's a disagreement, she often comes around a different way at a different time. I just admire that. And then there are other people that I work with sometimes who they bring about the difference by asking a question. And I'm going, well, that is, I wish I could have done that, because I would have just come out and blurted out what the truth is. And so the graciousness steps back a little bit and says, how can I put my words in this wrapping that it demonstrates more grace than I normally would? Because I have no right, just because I'm right, I have no right to step on people. These are real people I'm interacting with, and so I could be more careful in the way I interact by just packaging my words better, I think.
Yeah, I just really admire you for giving it so much thought, and also just trying to be so intentional about it. I am very, I can sometimes be so blunt and just so have such a hard time stopping myself to say things just how I kind of think about them. And that can be very hurtful, because once you said something, it's just so difficult to take it back, to have it unheard somehow. It's just not possible anymore. So I really find it, I think probably one of the most challenging areas in my marriage, for example. And I know as a fact that many people have the same, and it's such a, can be such a pivotal area of development. So let's focus a bit on, you know, what can we do to actually learn to communicate? And you mentioned already a few things, you know, being intentional about it and listening more, you know, listening more, trying to think before, or stopping ourselves almost before we are about to answer, and to just kind of, reconsider what we are going to say. So that, you know, these are some strategies that we can apply. How do we get started? Let's say we are in a situation in which we are just, you know, maybe disappointed more in ourselves, let's say, than in the other person about how we communicate, and we want to get better at it. How can we start when we're, let's say, in a level that's very away from where we would like to be? What would be a good starting point?
Well, I think because this is such a common area, we're talking to our spouse regularly.
Mm.
And I think what we need to do is pull back after the fact. Even let's just start with after we're done with a conversation and we have done whatever we're going to do in that conversation, just step back and say, what are some ways that I could have been more gracious in the way I said that? And I think then we're going to come to these observations of things like, I could have said, thank you for sharing that with me. I'm getting a bigger picture now of the way you're thinking. Here's some thoughts that I have. I mean, just couching it that way, I think is helpful. I think sometimes we're apologizing and saying, hey, I'm sorry, my words came out a little rough there. That wasn't what I wanted. So I think we can come back and apologize.
Mm.
But I think we learn a lot by our mistakes, unfortunately. And this is one of those areas that's so hard to control. So I think if we say, okay, look, how could I have done that better? What would have been a more gracious response? And when we do that, then I think we're starting to move into this ability to step into situations. You know, when I was younger, a lot younger, I would find myself disappointed in my speech a lot.
Mm.
And I would do a lot of self-evaluation to say, how could I have done that better? And now I feel like I know how to do it better. If I just think, if I just pause and think about it. But sometimes in a discussion with not just my wife, but with anybody really, and I hear someone kind of going down a path that I know is wrong, I have to pause and I have to say, okay, look. I don't know, why are my emotions carrying me away here? I can be gracious even in difficult situations. When differences take place, that's probably the key area that graciousness is lost.
Mm.
So, yeah, I kind of know now what I need to do, and I try to practice it. And sometimes I'm successful and I go away saying, that was good. I did the right thing. And other times I go, you know what? I jumped in there too quickly. I should have just waited a little bit, paused.
Mm.
I should have said, hey, let me think about that. You're making some good points, and come back later when I know what to say. So, it's definitely a process. I understand that.
Yeah, and I think it's encouraging that even you say that it still work for you that you are doing currently. So it just goes to say that we are never actually done with this. We've arrived at a point where, you know, we can just rely on every time opening our mouths and saying the right thing. So that's encouraging in a way. I also like, that you have shared here as an exercise, creating a toolkit of gracious words. And I actually, it makes me go back to something we are teaching our children in a parenting, when we're working with them, together, you know, on the therapy, we're teaching them, for example, to respond in certain ways or to say, well, when I call you, you respond in this way. And when I, you know, when it somehow makes me remember that, because it makes me wonder if we would really just have some words we learn to say when we are tempted to say something that we kind of you know, just to have some words that we can rely on to fill that void before we can think about what we want to say. I think that can be very, very powerful. And you just mentioned that. So, and you give here also some examples, some of phrases, for example, that promote connection and promote, let's say, the willingness to further communicate and to, you know, even if you disagree, be able to go forward in a conversation. So I really like that. What was one thing that in your conversations with couples or with people, with, you know, even in your own relationship, what was one of the, let's say, the words of the phrases that you find yourself using the most?
Well, one of the things I when I'm doing this right, is to say to myself, okay, the person's saying things to me right now. And we primarily focus so far on disagreements, but there are other ways. Sometimes we're just having a conversation with this other person. When we're having this conversation, there can be a temptation for me to be thinking of the story I want to tell. In other words, the person tells a story, and I then, when they're done with their story, I say, well, that reminds me of this, or yeah, that happened to me. And maybe what I need to do, instead of trying to jump into talking about myself, is I need to ask a follow-up question. And I might just say, or make a statement that says, that must have been really upsetting, or something that allows the person to continue talking about it. I think it's another form of graciousness. So if I can get off myself and onto the other person, then I'm giving them a gift. I think that's what graciousness is. It's this ability to give a gift to someone of listening or encouragement or kindness. And people like to talk about themselves. So if I allow a person to talk more after they've made their initial statement, instead of me taking over the conversation talking about myself, it's just another demonstration of this graciousness, I think. One of the ways I think that I'm trying to work on this has to do with this Bible verse that's in this particular chapter.
Yeah,
because I think what happens is we focus on the gold that we want to share with someone. And I think that the scripture in Proverbs 25:11 says, a word that fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I don't think the settings of silver would characterize me sometimes. I think that my apples of gold have mud all over them as I'm throwing them at somebody. And what I need to do is be more cautious and careful about speaking aptly. That's the words that are used there. That's what wisdom is. And I want to have more wisdom in my life. So I'm looking for ways to implement that as I'm trying to use my words. As you said, you know, James tells us that the tongue is like it's hard to bridle. It's like bridle on a horse. It's just, we can't bridle our tongue, but it's also like a fire that can be destructive. And so we have to really work hard, I think, in order to develop empathy or demonstrate empathy or patience or kindness with people.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think it's just goes to show that it's an area that is challenging to work in and make changes. And I think sometimes it's also our desire to have the last word, or that not necessarily have the last word, but especially when we see that when we know that we are right or in the right. And that's also very challenging to kind of, you know, makes it more challenging for us to, communicate or to say the right things, in a way that's effective. Francisco, thanks so much for sharing this, and being kind of vulnerable and sharing your own journey and how you feel encouraged, by continuously working on this, but also the areas you've had success with. I really feel also now a bit more encouraged about that. And I think a lot of parents should also feel encouraged about that. And I would like to encourage, those listening to think very good about the words we're using and graciousness and kind words, because we are surrounded by our families, by our children a lot. And they hear a lot. I mean, they see a lot of what we do, and they hear a lot of what we do, and a lot of what they're doing is basically more or less a copy of what we're doing. So I think it's so important to, you know, to be always aware of how we're talking and how we're with each other, what kind of words we use towards each other. And so I think it's very important. I just want to ask you one more thing before the end of this episode. Do you think intonation or how a person speaks in terms of their volume has importance? I'm asking because I'm a person who speaks quite loudly, and it's just something that I do. I'm not particularly, and every time I hear, oh, but you know, you're angry or you're upset, whilst I'm just loud, you know, I'm a loud person. How do you think about that? And how can we work with that?
Remember my one daughter when she was 14 years old, this is my daughter, Megan. She said to me, Dad, I wish you'd stop yelling at me. And I was surprised. I said, you know, I don't really yell at you. I don't know if you ever heard me yell, really. And what I was realizing is that there was something going on in my voice, because I'm an intense person. And I think my intensity was being perceived as harshness. And she was picking that up. And so I said, well, I want to change. I said, what can I do that would make this better? And she said, well, maybe you could just be quieter when you come in to talk to me about something. Or maybe you could ask me some questions instead of just jumping to conclusions. And I thought, okay, those are good things. So I remember I had to correct her, because she was supposed to be doing dishes and she wasn't doing dishes. So I came in and I came in and went, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, and she looks at me like, what are you doing? And then she realized that I was going to correct her and that I was being quiet. And I was trying. And so she laughed. I laughed. But I said, I got a problem. I feel like you're not obeying me in regards to the dishes, but I don't know what to do. Can you give me some ideas? And we laughed together. But it was just a way for me to show her that I'm trying. I really want to have a close relationship with you, honey. And if it means adjusting the way that my tone of voice, or my volume, or my intensity, I want to do that because closeness is valuable. I think that's another way of being gracious, just kind of recognizing how we come across. So, yeah, I like your suggestion and the realization that sometimes we're kind of on top of things and we're barking out the orders, but there's probably some ways that we could be more gracious even in that respect.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we are now towards the end of our episode, and I'm again very grateful for what we have shared today. I do want to encourage parents and those listening to have a look at our other episodes, to share and to also rate our podcast. That will help other parents find it. That's been really a blessing for a lot of families, and there are many, many who are actually taking a lot of value of listening. So please feel free to share and give us a rating. And Dr. Scott, before we end, are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with the listeners?
I think that graciousness is more than a technique. I think we're focusing on techniques here. I have focused on techniques in my own life, but it's really a way of life. And I think if we come back to understanding that my words are part of my sanctification, they're part of how God wants to work in my life, then it becomes more of this lifestyle. And I then can speak with more empathy and humility and understanding, and it becomes this daily commitment. So it's not easy, but I think it's one of those things we're working on. And it's another one of those areas where we can find our pleasure in God's approval of us, not maybe in our spouse, but in the way that God is looking at us and saying, yep, you did the right thing. And I appreciate that well done, good and faithful servant kind of experience that I think I have when I do the right thing. And that's what we want here in our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, amen to that. I find that very encouraging. And we really look forward to speaking. And until next time, we want to ask God to bless you and keep you. God bless.